your Bibles, if you will, and turn with me in your copy of God's Word this morning back to the Gospel of Luke. We find ourselves in the Gospel of Luke again, chapter 12. Today we're looking and beginning in verse 35. I want to ask you a very serious question. And this question absolutely, without reservation, applies to every person in the room. Are you ready for Jesus to return? Are you ready that if Jesus showed back up this morning, instead of you getting ready to go to the church house in order to worship the Lord, what if He showed up? Would you be ready to go to heaven, to go there and to worship Him for all of eternity? Every person needs to be ready for when Jesus does make His return. Jesus is going to return, and He's going to, when He returns, judge everyone, the living and the dead. When Jesus first came and was born and lived, we could definitely say the Bible depicts Jesus as having come into the world to be a sacrificial lamb, to make atonement for all the believers who would place their faith and trust in Him. But when Jesus returns, He won't be coming just as a sacrificial lamb. Instead, He's going to come and be roaring like a lion. And we need to be prepared to face Him, to meet Him, to bow before Him, and to be judged by Him. I want to read to you this passage today, beginning in verse 35. Let's read all the way through verse 48. This is what it says in God's Word. Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. I'd say that that is definitely our key verse this morning. In verse 41, Peter asks him, he said, Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all? And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find doing so when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that servant says to himself, my master is delayed in coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants and eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and at an hour he does not know and will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. And that servant who knew his master's will but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating. But the one who did not know and did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. Jesus is speaking in parables here. And remember that parables are earthly stories, but they have heavenly meanings. Today, as we want to understand, let's ask God's Spirit to open up our hearts and minds that we might understand and apply what He was teaching to His disciples and what He has left in His Word for us here today. Would you pray with me? Lord, we give this time of study to You. Help us, O God, to be free of distractions, to be able, Lord, to focus on what Your Word says. And God, we want to make sure before we leave this place today that we are ready for Your sure and imminent return. In Christ's name we ask and pray all these things. Amen. First of all, the main point of the message today is that you need to be ready. Be ready. Be prepared. Don't be caught off guard, but be ready for Jesus to return. And if we were to survey the room today, we'd find, if we were honest, a great mix of answers. Some would say, I'm ready. But the more you think about it, there are other things in your life that you could get ready. So you'd say, ultimately I'm ready, but yeah, there are a few more things in my house I need to get in order. There are a few more people that I still want another opportunity to share the gospel with because I love them and they're important to me and I want to make sure that they're ready. And so in one sense, my being ready to meet Jesus also means that my friends and loved ones are all ready to meet Jesus. I hope that many of us could say, yes, I am ready. But if we're totally honest, we would say, I'm ready ultimately. But yes, there are more things that I need to do to be prepared to be ready. I need to be more vigilant, more constant, more watchful. I need to make sure that I'm on mission all the time. If we were to take that survey, surely we'd find, even in a gathering this size, we would find people that would say, Brother Adam, to be honest, I do not know that if Jesus were to come back today, that I would be completely ready. Certainly, we all have friends and family that if we asked them, they'd have varying opinions, varying ideas. If we were to ask them and they were totally honest, some would say, yeah, I'm ready. Some would say, I'm not ready. And some would say, I just don't know. I can also promise you this, that there are people in your life that can't be ready because they've never really heard the gospel. Sure, we all have general revelation and every person is guilty of knowing that, well, there has to be a God. Look at the world around you. There's no explanation other than God. So we all know generally that God exists. But I'm talking about there are people in your life that even though they kind of know that God exists and they ought to be seeking Him out, no one's ever taken the opportunity to explicitly tell them what the gospel message is. You know the gospel message. Hopefully you know it well. We're all born into this world, a broken and fallen world, because of sin. You have sin, I have sin, we all have sin. And because of our sin, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. We deserve to die because we're sinners. But the gospel, the good news, that message is that while we were yet sinners, even though we're sinners, Christ died for us. That's the good news. That's the gospel message. That's what we rejoice over. That's the hope and truth that I keep telling you that the church and only the church of Christ has for a lost and dying world. You know people that have never had that conversation. No one's ever explicitly laid it out for them. And guys, it's not just enough for us to explain the gospel, but when we explain the gospel for people, we need to ask the question, if Jesus were to come back today, would you be ready? We don't need to just ask that of unbelievers, but believers must ask themselves the question, am I ready for Jesus' return? Four different ways that Jesus illustrates His point in this passage. He begins in verse 35. He says, stay dressed for action. Come on up here, Taylor. I want to introduce you to my friend Taylor. Taylor is one of the newest members of our church, and he's ready to serve Jesus. And so I put him on the spot this week, and I said, Taylor, would you be willing? I didn't tell him what it was before I asked him. I just said, Taylor, would you be willing? Let's give him a hand for participating this morning. Would you be willing to help us have a better understanding of the sermon, you know, and all that? And it involves a costume. And then Miss Pat Cox helped me put together. Some of this the church already had, but this robe he's wearing underneath, Miss Pat Cox, she got that all ready. They want to make sure we understand the text this morning. That passage that says, stay dressed for action, it means something. You know, if we were going to say that a police officer needs to stay dressed for action, they'd be probably in uniform with their belt on, all their gear. If we're going to tell a fireman that they need to be dressed for action, immediately you would think they need to have their gear on, ready to go, in a hurry at all times. But in Jesus' day and time, when He was telling them to stay dressed for action, literally that phrase means this. It means to be dressed in readiness. Literally it says, let your loins be girded. I don't know what comes to your mind when I say, let your loins be girded. But our translators here have made it plain for us that the idea is to stay dressed for action. Literally, let your loins be girded. So I'm going to let him give a demonstration of what it means. Because if he were wearing all of this, you know, and he and I were to get into a tussle, and normal, you know, fair fight, he'd probably beat me. But because he's got all this on, he's probably going to trip. He can't move around very well. And so if he was going to get ready for a fight, if I were going to get ready for a fight and I wore glasses, I'd take my glasses off. Hold my glasses, hold my watch, you know, let's get ready. You know, you've seen people, they get ready, good round of fisticuffs. But if he's going to get ready, he's going to have to gird up his loins. You know, another example of that that comes from that is when I played football, we had to wear our football pads and shoulder pads, and you had to wear these on your legs. But underneath, I had what was called a girdle. And it, let's just imagine this, just a pair of shorts. But in those shorts, I had special little hip pads that I would wear and stuff like that. And that was part of my girdle that you would be right here in the belt area. So I'm going to let him give a demonstration. You get ready for action. You go ahead. Here's what he has to do. He has to reach behind him, underneath, grab the back of his robe. And then there he is. And he's dressed modestly today. He wore nice jeans and everything. So don't worry. You're not going to get any more than what you're supposed to today. But you see, he's grabbed the back up. You see how hard this is? You see how much he's having to do? And this is typical of that day and time, and some people still dress that way today. You see, he's kind of like he's wearing a diaper. You see that? And so if you saw him walking down the street like this way back when, you wouldn't think, oh, he looks ridiculous. You would think, he looks like he's dressed and ready to do something. That's the way he's dressed. Now, if we saw him walking down the street like this today, we'd walk on the other side. We wouldn't know what he's doing. And it's hard to keep tucked in. But see, when he's dressed like this, he's ready to pick up arms and go into battle. When he's dressed like this, he's ready to play sports, to get down in the dirt and play with the kids. In fact, you know, this robe, I asked Miss Pat to make it easier for him to do this by making it bigger and more loose, but they don't wear them that loose. And so he's really got to, I mean, he'd really have to pull it way up, and sometimes they pull it around and tie it in a knot so it won't come out. I mean, it's a big process. You wouldn't do that. You don't look formal. You don't look comfortable. Is it comfortable? It's okay. But see, now he has full range of motion. He can get down and get up and lift heavy things and do all that. But to be dressed for action, I just wanted to bring it out so you would have a better understanding of exactly what it means. He's dressed for action. And anybody that sees him knows, hey, he's ready to do work. He's not lounging. He's not resting. He's not biding his time. If you saw him walking down the street in that day and time, you wouldn't think, oh, man, he looks strange. You'd think, hey, he's got something important that he's doing. He's ready for action. Taylor, I really appreciate you dressing in costume today to help solidify in our minds what it means for our loins to be girded up. So I appreciate it, brother. Thank you so much. Stay ready for action, right? That's one of the ways that Jesus illustrates. Now, today we have pants. You can do more in pants than you could do in that robe. I think the same thing would be true. Ladies, if you were going to go outside and do some gardening, I mean, you know, maybe in the movies they go out in a sundress and do gardening. It's all cute and all that. But if you're really going to get out in there and do some gardening, you're going to change the way you're dressed. You're going to be dressed for activity, dressed for action. You're going to be prepared for what you know is coming next. And so I appreciate, once again, Taylor giving us a good visual of what that means when somebody has to gird up their loins. And in that day and time, everybody immediately knew what that was when he used that phrase. But the verb that's used there, stay dressed, that indicates to us a perpetual state of readiness. And what Jesus is saying to his disciples is, you need to constantly, always be ready. He's saying there's never a time that your loins shouldn't be girded up. So you have to walk around like that all the time. Not physically, that's not what he's talking about. He's using it as a metaphor to be able to say spiritually, you need to be ready at all times. You need to just go ahead and get into your mind that Jesus is coming and you want to be ready for when he does. He uses other illustrations. In fact, I have a little lamp here that is, it's not from that time period, but it's modeled after that time period. It's very small, but in that day and time, people would have these at home, and they'd have a little wick. I'll show you the little wick. This is a little lamp. You might call it a lamp that's modeled after the Herodian time period. This one came from, I believe, from Jerusalem. And so what you do is you take it and you put some oil on the inside, and then you have to light the wick. If we were going to light the wick, I would say, hey, anybody got a lighter? And somebody who smokes or who just randomly carries around a lighter for no reason would stand up and say, here you go, I've got a light for you. And you would light the lamp, and then from that I would have a way to be able to see. If we lived in that day and time, we wouldn't have a lighter. It's a little bit harder to get the flame and keep the flame. So what they would do was Jesus was using this as an example when he said, keep your lamps burning. Because the last thing you want to do is for the master to show up, and then you got to go find some way to start a fire and do all this, and you got to get the oil up. You don't even know where the lamp is because it's dark. And you're tripping and stumbling and things like that. So you want to keep it ready to go. And so he says, keep it filled with oil. Oh man, we could really get into some things that could be symbolic, right, with a lamp. I mean, Christians, who's our oil? It's the Holy Spirit. So be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're not going to go down that road today, but just some things for you to ponder for later. But you got to have it filled with oil. You got to know where it is. You got to have the wick trimmed and ready, because these things, you know, that wick's not going to last forever, for one. And it's not supposed to burn. It's supposed to burn the oil. But just like with the candles you get at home, they don't last forever, right? And we don't use candles normally for light. Normally when we buy candles now, we want the ambiance. We want the smell. We want to, you know, create an atmosphere at our home. So we use a candle for that. But these were necessary. When the sun went down, the streetlights didn't come on. They didn't have them. And so it would be pitch black dark. You'd have moonlight and that was it. So if you're inside your house and you need to see, you have the small flame. And it would light up. Maybe you have several of them. Maybe you have some that are set in different places, on different stands, around different rooms. But he's saying that what you need to do is keep your lamps burning. He's talking about maintaining readiness. That's what it's all about. Be ready at all times. So get ready and stay ready. That's what Jesus is talking about. And so this little lamp is a great reminder that Jesus uses. Now today, if we knew that the storm was coming and we're going to lose power, one of the things that people do is they make sure they have flashlights. That's what we do now. We make sure we have flashlights, and the flashlights have fresh what? Batteries. There's nothing worse than stumbling through the dark to flip on a flashlight. You finally get there. You've stubbed your toe in the process. Owie, that hurts. It's bad enough as it is. You finally get to the old trusty flashlight, and Duracell has let you down. Energizer is nowhere to be found. You got to get those things ahead of time. Get them ready and then keep them ready. Now, our maintenance doesn't require as much. I mean, flashlights, LED light, they work really well. We don't require a lot. Batteries last a very, very long time. But for them in their day and time, it was a continual process. Just because you got the lamps ready yesterday doesn't mean they're going to be ready today. You've got to get them and keep them ready. And so he's speaking to them in a plain language that they can understand. One thing came to mind this week when I was studying for this passage. There's a famous motel. They say, we'll keep the, I think it's Motel 6, right? What are they saying when they say, we'll keep the lights on for you? They're saying what? We're ready for you to come. Doesn't that feel inviting? When you go to stay with somebody and they say, what time are you guys going to get in from your travels? He said, well, it's going to be late before we... Don't worry, we'll leave the light on for you. Jesus is saying, leave the light on. Stay ready, be prepared. He also tells them to be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast. Jesus is really trying to hammer it in, guys. If you're going to be a follower of Jesus, you need to be ready at all times for His return. Now, we have weddings, and weddings can be big, hectic events, and they take a long time to plan. But most weddings that we go to only last for a few hours the whole day at most. But in that day and time, it would not be unusual for a wedding to be accompanied by a big feast and celebration that would involve the community and so many people and would last for days. Hey, maybe even it could last an entire week. And so what would happen is that the servants would need to be ready for whenever they hear that the master has finally come back home. They want to make sure they meet him at the door and serve him there and leave a good impression. And they don't know if the feast is going to last 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4, 5, 6, 7, whatever it may be. But at all times, they're supposed to be ready. The master's coming. Oh, man. I heard one story one time that my uncle Lee told me. That's my dad's brother. He told me a story one time. He was working for our Uncle Bill. Not really my uncle. He's like my great-great-uncle. But he was my pastor growing up. And he was kind of bivocational because he did construction work and things like that on the side and stuff. And they had a job one time, and Preacher Bill was having to go somewhere to go pick up some supplies. And so he left the boys, all the young men working on that project. And they said that Preacher Bill, he was a man of his word. He believed in an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. And he wanted to find that if he was paying you for that hour, that you were working that whole hour. And so they said, he worked us hard. It was good, honest work, but it was hard. And so when he left, we decided we need to take a break. And they took a break. But my Uncle Lee said, we were sure of one thing. When he showed back up, we wanted to look busy. And so one of us would always be watching down the road to see if that old blue Chevy was coming back, because we dare not let him catch us on a break and not putting in that time working. He worked us, and we gave him what was owed, but man, we wanted to make sure he found us working. Now let me tell you something about serving God. There's no fooling him. There's no getting ready because you see him coming all of a sudden. Jesus is saying, stay ready. Keep dressed for action. Keep the lamps burning. You be ready because you don't know when the master's coming back home. I've heard a lot of people say a lot of things about, which watch of the night. And some people say, is it a Jewish counting of time or Rome? Doesn't matter who's keeping the time. The point is this. Be ready for when he shows up. Don't be found being lazy as a Christian. We've got so many people that say, you know what? I've served my term. I just want to relax. We'll relax when we get in the presence of God. But now we want to make the best use of the time and be on fire and working for our Lord and our Savior. He gives another example, although it's a little bit further down. He talks about being on guard against a thief. He uses the picture of a thief who would break into somebody's house, and they'd do that in the middle of the night. And so we don't know exactly which counting of time he's used. It doesn't matter. He's saying that you don't know when the thief will come, but you better be on guard at all times. You don't have the luxury of knowing when the thief is going to try to break in, so you need to put in security measures that work constantly. You don't want your security cameras to only work from 1 a.m. to 2 a.m. What if somebody shows up at 3 a.m.? You want to make sure they work all the time. You don't want a guard dog that's only going to be able to guard and, you know, he goes back to sleep and takes his nap and he's no longer a guard dog from the hours of 2 a.m. to 4 a.m. because what if somebody shows up to break in? Do you harm them? No. You want them to be constantly vigilant, watching out. Jesus is going to come back and take his church out of this world. And we want to be ready that when he shows up, we've been prepared the whole time. No laziness, no laxing. And you know what? Another thing people say is, man, there seems to be no time for rest. But guys, when Jesus says for us to be ready, he's not saying that we can't enjoy life. He's not saying that we can't enjoy our families. He's not saying that we can't take times of rest. He's telling us to make the best use of the time. And time with family, time for rest, time to enjoy things in life, those are all biblical. He came to give us life and give us life more abundantly. But we never let our guard down and we never lose sight of what our ultimate mission is. We stay on mission and we stay ready so that whenever we do meet that person and the Holy Spirit tugs at our heart and we feel led that we need to share the gospel, we've already got Romans Road tucked away in the back of our mind that we can quote and go to and tell other people what that gospel message is. We're ready to share. We're not trying to get things in order and confess sin because we've been distant from God and distant from church and distant from the ministry that he's called us to. No, We've been involved. We've been right there with Him, in step with the Spirit of God, careful students of His Word. The verse says and talks about Him coming at an unexpected hour. Some people have said, you know what? I have heard all my life that people say, He's coming soon, He's coming soon, He's coming soon. They've all been wrong. No, they've not been wrong. The Bible says He is coming soon. He's coming quickly. Nobody's been wrong. But our view of time is different than His view of time. So we'll settle that there. And the point behind His coming quickly is this, that no matter when He comes, we must be found ready. That's the point. Somebody said, well, there are some people that interpret it and they think Jesus already came. Jesus hadn't already come. I can assure you Christ has not already come. He's not come yet, but I'll tell you this. I believe that He'll come when people don't expect it, because that's what the Bible says. One of the reasons that people will no longer expect His coming is because they will have given up waiting. Don't you think some of these servants are like, yeah, we've got to be ready. A day passes by, and the next day they have less of a desire to be ready. I mean, you know, they got to do all this stuff. And it seems like it was for nothing because He hadn't come yet. 2 days, then 3 days, then 4 days, and then a week. Somebody's going to get lazy along those lines. And they're going to be found not ready. Let me tell you a little bit more about how you can be ready. How you can be ready. Because I believe that when Christ comes back, it'll be when people have given up hope. When they by and large are no longer expecting it because they either don't believe it anymore or they just have thought, well, maybe He's already come. Whatever reason, it's going to be when people have given. So you be ready, especially when you see that other people have disregarded it, when they don't seem to be as interested anymore. And in the world today, there's less of a fixation on the return of Christ than probably there ever has been before in history. People have moved away from that. People who call themselves Christians have said, well, you know, He doesn't literally mean that. It must be this, that, the other, whatever. Literally, He means that. And metaphorically, He's illustrated it in so plain a way that even a child can understand it. He is coming back. I can tell you this. When my parents would tell me to clean something up or do something, they'd say, and when I come back, I better find that you did what I told you to do. And God's a lot nicer to us than that. But He still expects for us to be ready, to be prepared, to live every day in that continual, constant, perpetual readiness. So let me tell you about how you can be ready. It begins by having Jesus Christ as your master. Now, in some ways, we all agree that He's master over all, whether you acknowledge it or not. But what I'm talking about is you need to acknowledge that He has all authority. Luke has showed us that through miraculous things. He has had power over disease, power over demons, power over nature, everything. He has all authority. So Christ is going to have His way. What I'm telling you is you need to humbly bow and submit to His will day in, day out, seeking what God desires for your life. Then you could say He's your master. Then you could say that He is your Lord. It ought to be so obvious that people, when they look at your life, if they ask the question, who are you living for? There ought to be no question in the people that are close to you in your life that you live for Jesus Christ. If they think you live for anything or anyone else, be that fame, fortune, whatever it is, or even if they were to think you just live for self, then you are not ready, because other people can't tell that you are a servant of the Lord. They ought to be able to look at you and tell that you are dressed for action. No, you're not going to have your loins girded up, but they're going to tell that when there's an opportunity to do ministry, you jump on it. They ought to be able to tell that your lamps are kept ready. Why? Because they see day in, day out, you have things ready so that you can serve the Lord. It ought to be evident to your families. Your children ought to know. Your adult children still need to know that you're ready for Christ, that you're living for Him. He's your master. You are a servant of His. I think that being a servant of Christ is all about a person's mindset. It's all about a person's mindset. I don't know any better way to describe it than to say this. Our church has deacons. They do a great job. They're great deacons. You can call on them. They'll pray with you. They'll try to guide you. They'll serve you. They'll get down in the dirt with you, whatever they need to do to love and minister to you. And our deacons have a mindset to serve Christ. How often are they deacons? All the time. There's not a moment in time of any day of any week that they're not a deacon. You say, well, Brother Adam, well, we have a deacon of the week. Well, yeah, that means that's the one that kind of takes charge and they take the first call. But from there, all the deacons can kick into action. But there's not a moment in time that they're not called to be a deacon in the church of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They don't clock out, even when they go home, even when they're asleep. I can call them at any time. I know that. And you ought to know you can call on them at any time. They're always. Why? They have a mindset to serve Christ by serving His people. And it never turns off. That's an expectation that the Bible puts on deacons. But it's also an expectation that the Bible puts on the Christian, that they're ready to serve Christ at any time. And so we ought not be asking our deacons to do anything that every Christian man, woman, boy, or girl wouldn't be willing to do if Christ called on them. Miss Pat Cox was a great example this week. I called her up and said, look, I don't know how much time you got, what you got going on. She said, if it's for the Lord, you know I got time. That's a good example. She's ready to do the work of ministry. So I'm giving you some examples today and how you ought to be ready. I'm not just telling you to be ready. I'm telling you how you can be ready. It starts with a relationship with Christ. If He shows up and He's not Lord of your life, if you've not given your life to Him, if you're not a believer, you won't be ready. You won't be ready. And if you are a Christian and you haven't been serving Him, you haven't been living for Him, you haven't been sharing the gospel for Him, you won't be ready. So you need to be on the right team. You need to declare your faith publicly. People need to see whose side you're on. You need to walk in the Spirit and live by the Word. You can be ready by anticipating His return. And I want to put emphasis there. If I were to ask you, do you believe Jesus is coming again? Everybody say, yeah. But just because you know He's coming again doesn't mean that you're living in anticipation of His return. Doesn't mean you're looking down the road to see, is He coming yet? And it doesn't even mean that you're excited that He's coming. I think there are Christians today, they say, well, I know the Lord's coming, but if He showed up right now, they'd be terribly upset. They'd be afraid because they would not have been found ready. Part of being ready is anticipating His return and then taking action. Jesus says in verse 37, blessed are those slaves whom the master shall find on the alert. Blessed are the ones who are ready when He shows up. Whom the master will find awake when He comes. Doesn't matter what time. Are you going to be awake to His return? The point is this. You must be ready. I don't know about you, but it's always been the case in my house growing up or even now. If we're expecting company, we try to, you know, get things ready at the house a little bit. It's kind of hard to do that with a little baby and especially with a toddler. Anybody out there say amen? Keep the house ready with a toddler. But keeping the house ready for company with the toddler is a great example because you constantly have to clean up and pick up to get ready to have somebody over. And no matter how much you clean up, they mess up. And that's part of being a toddler. I think I was probably pretty good at it when I was a toddler. Not that I'm super proud of it, but looking back, I'm like, yeah, I probably did a real good job. And I think it's genetic and now I'm paying for it. But the thing is this, being ready is a constant thing. If you're expecting Jesus, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, the Master and Creator of the universe, if you're expecting Him to show up into your life, how much more would you be ready? I'm not talking about how you get the house ready for family to come over. When family comes over, you just clear a spot for them to sit, right? I mean, you'll go to great lengths to get a house really ready and in order for special company, but there's no greater person in your life than Christ. And Your life needs to be ready. I'm not talking about getting the vacuum out. I'm using a metaphor to do today as well so we can understand spiritually we need to make sure that we're not harboring sin unconfessed, that we're not allowing things to influence the way we think. Instead, our heart, soul, mind, all of our strength belongs to the Lord. I want you to be ready. Peter asks a question in verse 41. Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all? He asks Jesus, is this a message that you want us, your disciples, to hear, or is this a message for everybody? And you know, whenever somebody would ask Jesus a question, he normally wouldn't give yes, no, or maybe. He gives some deep answer. And I like that he did that because it forces us to really prayerfully think through what he says. And he does give an answer, and it is found in verse 48. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. So who are you speaking to, Jesus? The short answer is everyone. But the fuller answer is, if a lot's been given to you, then a lot's going to be required. This brings us to our second point today. Be ready, and then here's the reason. Because Jesus will return, we know that, for this purpose, to judge everyone. Everyone. No person here or at home today will escape the return and judgment of Jesus Christ. No person living, no person dead. All will be judged when Christ returns. Four different judgments. I won't harbor on them long today. Let's look and see that there is a little bit of a pattern there. It looks an awful lot like when Jesus was talking about the parable of the four soils. When I look at these, I see that he talks about four judgments after Peter asks this question. And one of those judgments seems to be good. Some people are going to be rewarded. They're not going to be punished. Instead of being punished, they're going to be rewarded because they knew that Jesus, the Master, the Lord, was coming back. And they, knowing that, anticipating that, they lived out their lives as good stewards of all that God had entrusted to them. They were faithful to the Lord, whether He was present there with them or whether He was still coming back and on His way. I think that this applies especially to people who have leadership positions, even above and beyond what it applies to others. Because the first one that he talks about, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? He's talking about somebody who's in charge. He's talking about somebody who's in charge of other people. And they're going to set a good example. They're going to be faithful. They're going to be wise. And what does he say of them? He begins to call them blessed. Verse 43, blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that servant says to himself, my master is delayed in coming and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and at an hour he does not know and will cut him in pieces. That's pretty graphic. He's talking about dismemberment. He's talking about tearing apart his life metaphorically and put him with the unfaithful. Woo! Isn't that tough? That's difficult. Jesus is calling this person blessed. For Jesus to say that they're blessed, it means that they're honored. This servant who is faithful, who knows I'm coming and is faithful and wise until I return over all that I've left them in charge of, that person will be honored. Could you imagine being distinguished or honored in the presence of Almighty God? Our military will honor people who have had great valor or made sacrifice, and I think it's great. And they ought to be distinguished. They ought to be in a place of honor for serving our country and things like that. But even above and beyond that will be the honor that comes to Christians when they see Jesus face to face. And they know that they've been ready. They've been faithful. They've not been perfect. That's not a requirement. None of us are going to be perfect. But then when Jesus returns, He finds that we're faithful and we've been wise over all that He's entrusted to us. Don't go comparing yourself to what other people look like. God gives a different measure of different things to different people, but He expects the same level of faithfulness all across the board. You worry about you, and you worry about you being ready, and you being faithful, and you being a wise manager of all that God's given you, and that's all that you have to worry about. That's it. You be ready. You be ready. You be prepared. But He gives three bad judgments. Whew. Other people who are being punished, and their punishment changes. He starts with people who are being punished very severely, more moderately, and then some that won't be punished as much. When Jesus is handing out judgment to all these people, He's saying, look, you're going to fall somewhere in this spectrum. So today, I want you to wonder, when Jesus comes, am I going to be ready that He's going to reward me? Or am I going to be one who's filled with woe and filled with sorrow because I'm going to be found lacking, wanting? I've missed out. The next one will be punished really bad because instead of anticipating the Master's coming, they just ignored it, pretend like it wasn't going to happen. And they were given all this opportunity to be a steward, and instead of using it for God's glory, they wasted it on temporal and earthly pleasures. Everything you have in your life is a gift from God. Amen? Our family, our health, every moment of life. If you have a lot of money and you worked real hard and made a lot of money, that job, your abilities, your opportunities, it all comes back to God. We have nothing without Him. So we want to make sure that we use it in a way that honors Him, that shows the world we belong to Him. Everything I have is His, and I'm just temporarily in charge of it. It's kind of frightening to think about in some ways. Jesus begins with this one and starts talking about cutting a servant into pieces, dismembering them. What's going on there? I believe it's metaphorically saying that your life and everything you valued and everything you think you had is completely and utterly torn to pieces. Your philosophical way of thinking, your ideology, your view on life, your worldview, so to speak, all of it torn apart. And you will suffer a terrible fate because you didn't think it was real, you didn't believe. Your place is going to be with those who are wicked in hell. That's what He's saying. Brother Adam, is He teaching that somebody can be a believer and that they can fall away from their faith? No, that's not what he's teaching. What He's referring to here are people who say they serve the Master, but they never have. It's always been about self. These are the kinds of people that have been exposed to church all their life, and they've been exposed to the gospel, and they kind of have a touch with it, but they don't really believe. They're not really committed. It hasn't really taken root or hold in their life. And there are many of those people in our world today, and sadly, there are probably some of those people. You might be one of them today. I don't know. It's between you and God. Are you truly serving Him? Jesus goes on and He talks about, you know, a different servant. People say, well, that one's surely not me. I say, if I'm on this list, I'm down towards the bottom. I'm not the real bad. You just need to be open to whatever God leads you to today so that you can be ready. Being ready involves being honest about where we are in our faith. Amen, church? There's no shame in who I am, but there is shame in turning away Jesus. One day I'll be so ashamed if I turned Him away, if I quenched His Spirit when it spoke to me, but in honestly coming before God and saying, this is who I am, Lord, You change me, there's no shame. There's none. He talks about some other people that are going to experience judgment, and their punishment will be severe, but not as severe because they knew, but they didn't just quite get ready. They didn't act in accordance with His will. And so He talks about them receiving these lashes, this punishment. as it's translated. I think these are the kinds of people that devote their life to Christ, but they say, I'll get busy for Him later. When Christ saves you, He wants you to be busy now. If when God saved you, He didn't have a work for you to do, let me tell you what He would have done. He would have saved you, knocked you over the head with a hammer, and took you on home. But if you're a Christian and you're still here today, you're supposed to be serving the Lord. In your life, the way that you serve the Lord may change over time. You may find that God moves you from one area to the next, and that's fine. But God has no such thing as an inactive Christian. If some of our shut-ins in nursing homes can find a way to serve God, whether that be knitting something for homeless people, whether that be through prayer ministry or phone ministry, guys, we are without excuse. Amen? Let's be ready. But then he talks about, and this is where people can disagree sometimes, he talks about some people that will be punished, but not so much. Because they didn't really know about the Master's coming, or they didn't live in light of it. Let me make it clear. There's no person that's going to get into heaven because, well, they just didn't know there was a God. There's no such thing. We all have general revelation. The book of Romans tells us that. The Psalms tell us that. That even the heavens declare the work of God. We know there is a God. You just look outside. See, there's so much more to life than what meets the eye. It just keeps going. There had to be a God. Because you know there's a God, you ought to seek. But here's the thing. Some believers have more opportunity than others. The plainest interpretation of this I think I can offer is this. He's saying, Peter, not everybody's going to have the opportunity to see how real and serious I am as you. There are going to be Christians that come along later. There are going to be people that are told about the gospel as unbelievers later. And they're not going to see the miracles. Just eyewitness, firsthand account. They're going to have to read the Bible and trust the authority of the Scriptures. They're going to have to listen to the Spirit of God as it moves through preachers and evangelists. And so I think that he was telling Peter, Peter, you better take this seriously because you have a better opportunity than others. And that's why Jesus, you know, tells doubting Thomas that you're blessed because you've seen and you felt these holes in my body to know that I'm real and I'm resurrected. But he says that there will be others who are more blessed because they will believe and they've never seen. That's us. But guys, we still have to have faith and we still have to follow through. And he expects the same level of readiness from you and from me that he expected from his disciples. Now let me tell you what the disciples did. All but one of them were ready to lay down their life for the gospel. You talk about being ready to meet Jesus. If I were to ask us, hey, are we ready to meet Him, even if that means through death? We would all hopefully say, I would say yes. I wouldn't be ashamed. I wouldn't be afraid. You will be afraid. But will you be faithful despite your fears? I'm not telling you that because I want to scare you today. I'm telling you that because I want you to have a mindset that's ready. I want you spiritually to be prayed up, prepared, studying, always diligent about the work of the Lord. I want you to be girded up, ready for action. I want your lamps to be lit. And guys, what we need in our church and in our world is we need a good revival because the church is not ready the way they ought to be. We would experience judgment if God came today. There's so much more that God's called His church to do, and yet we struggle over the fundamental basics of sharing the gospel. What can we do? How can we change that? How can we turn the tide? It begins with you. If you'll just be faithful, He'll weed out which servants go where, which group has been more faithful or less. But you worry about you. I want to ask you the question today. If Christ were to come back today, right now, at the close of this service, if when you stepped outside, you stepped into eternity, would you be found faithful? Would God say of you that you were a faithful and wise manager, a good steward of everything that He had entrusted to you, every opportunity? Or would you be found in judgment that you had put it off, that you had procrastinated, ignored it, that you failed to anticipate and live in excitement for His return. Here's what I want to ask you to do today. I want to ask you to be ready. It begins by having a relationship with Christ. If He showed up today to judge you and all the world, would He know you? Do you call Him Savior? Have you prayed to Him and said, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Make me a new creation. I believe what the Bible says about you, that you lived a life free of sin, that you died a death I deserve to die, that you were raised from the dead. You conquered both death and the grave. You did it for me, and you offer that victory freely to me, and I want to receive it. Today, you need to make that decision so that you'll be ready. Or maybe you'd say, Brother Adam, I mean, I'm a Christian, but I know there are things that God wants me to do and I've been fighting Him. What should I do? I think you need to totally be on board with everything God has for you. And you remember that this life is just for a little while. But in eternity, there's going to be so many opportunities to do other things and worship Him in new ways, steward new things, and it's all going to make a difference. What we do now, if we can prove our faithfulness here, we'll be honored for all of eternity. So today I think that our message is a call to salvation, a call to be baptized, a call to walk in our faith, a call to share our faith. Which one of those things is God telling you to be more prepared with? Would you bow your heads and let's close our eyes. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You for Your Word. You can be so clear, God. You can be so simple. And it's not often that we miss the point, and that's why we don't do what You say. But God, it's our arrogance, our selfishness, our pride. God, remove that lack of humility. Change our hearts and draw us closer to You. Lord, we do need You every hour. Lord, You have commanded us to be ready for Your return. I pray that every person here today would be able to gladly say, we'll work till Jesus comes. And when He comes, we'll be found ready. Lord, it is a matter of an individual's heart. So whatever shame there may be in coming forward and praying or, Lord, asking other people for advice, Lord, remove that false sense of shame when we're open and honest with each other, when we're praying for help in our walk, and guide us closer to You that our lamps might be ready, God, and kept burning all the time. Help us, God. In Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen. I want to invite you to stand this morning. As you do, our band here in a moment is going to lead us in a song of invitation. And as they do that, I don't want you just to sing this morning. If God is calling to you today, I want you to say yes to Jesus. I want you to be able to leave the church today and be able to say, I'm ready. Some of you are listening online, and if that's you, here's what I want you to do. As soon as it's over, if you want to talk to me or somebody else at our church, you just send us an email and let us know. We want to walk you through that, be part of the church, and how you can be more prepared for the coming of Christ. He is coming! The first time He came as that lamb, but this time He's coming with judgment as a lion. Are you ready, church? Let's stand. Let's sing together.